Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you on this Getaway Friday, March the 12th, 2021. Yeah, 15 and a half minutes past the hour here. Now, we've got a lot of housekeeping to do. Now, today we will do what we normally do on Fridays from 10:10 till 11 a.m. this morning. We will do our family feud, which is always a lot of fun. From 11:15 this morning till 12 p.m., we'll do the pastor spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker. It'll be good to see the pastor in here. It always is. And then 12:10 to 1 p.m. today, we will have the Exchange Club. Now, I don't know. I mean, I like having the girls in on Friday. Michelle and Abby. Now, Michelle's been busy because, of course, her business opened up a couple weeks ago. And Abby, I'm sure, is busy. She's got a lot going on. But maybe one or both of them will make it in today and we can have a conversation. Because to be honest with you, I would like to have a conversation with them about this whole Dr. Seuss thing. I would also like to have a conversation with them about everything going on in Marion, because it has been one of the most hectic weeks in Marion as far as news that I can remember in a long, long time. So hopefully we'll see one or both of them today from 12:15 to 1, and maybe if Michelle is coming from Stewart's at 12:15, well, we'll leave that up to her. She can fill in the dots there. But Abby can do that too. You know, Abby used to bring a pop every so often, but I know she's busy. I don't fault her for this, but you know, we'll just leave that there and see if we see either one of them today from 12:15 to 1 o'clock. In any event, we have some housekeeping to do here that's much more interesting than that little conversation. Okay, let's do the state of the station here this morning. As many of you know, since mid-February, was it? You know, we had some issues about somebody who complained about the station, and it led to something with the FCC, and it's ongoing. And everybody became aware of it, mainly because the newspaper did stories on it. And we feel that we are a news and information station and an education station. So since the newspaper decided to do stories on it, we like to keep you updated as to what's going on with this whole situation, because I feel you're like family. I come here every morning and we talk. I think years ago somebody referred to this as a radio family, because we recognize the regular callers. We love the regular callers. We love the new callers. We love people who write in here and send Christmas cards at Christmas. You know, it's a family. So just to give you a little state of the station update of where we are at this point, the FCC requested some information about the board of directors here of this station, which is where this whole problem started, and that information had to be turned in by March 11th. March 11th was yesterday. That was turned in on March the 10th, Wednesday night. That information was sent in. So that's really all there is to say at this point. We did respond this time. We did get the email asking for a response, and I believe there was even a letter sent in the mail this time to one of our one of the members of our board of directors. So we got it. We responded a day early, March the 10th, and they have had it, and that's where it is. Now, you don't know what goes on with something like that, but what I will say is that I know that the FCC is not in the business of taking stations off the air. I think the FCC is in the business of fixing problems and mistakes if people have made them. And I don't know that we've made any mistakes, but if they deem that we have, hopefully we'll just be able to fix that problem and go on down the road and keep providing the information, education, and local content that we have for the past 7 years. So that's where we are. But you don't know. You know, I don't have any inside track to any of this. And should one day they come and say, well, you can't be on the air anymore, I do want to let people know that we would not go away. We would become an internet presence, as so many other stations have done over the years, because we believe we do have good content. You know, we're not here every day doing these shows just to do them, to get over the airwave. That's not the purpose. I think, you know, I've started to believe that a lot of people's purpose really is just to get on the air. And getting on the air is fun. I would not deny that. But I don't know that that should be your purpose. I think your focus should be to provide local content, provide local information, educate. And boy, have we done that this week. And I would dare to say that we have done that better than any news source here in Marion. I don't know that any news source here in Marion has covered every story to the extent that we have this week. I also don't know that there is any news source that has spoken to the police chief, has spoken to the county sheriff, and has spoken to the county prosecutor, all live on the air within this given week. So, you know, we do what we do for information, and should there ever be a problem with the FCC, well, the only thing at this particular point that the FCC would control would be the transmitter, and as we all have learned, you can still pick us up on TuneIn, which I know a lot of people are listening on right now anyway. You can pick us up on the website. That would not go away. We stream live there, and as many of you know, because I got the Google Nest for my birthday, which is kind of like an Alexa, you can pick us up there by just saying play WWGH, and we pop up. So that's about all I have to say, is that they ask for information, they ask for it by a certain date, we turned it in, and we'll see where it goes from here. But I, in my own mind, I know what they have said about not wanting to eliminate stations, and I don't believe they want to eliminate stations that are providing local content. So hopefully, if a mistake was made, and again, I don't know that it was, but if it was, hopefully we can just fix the mistake and go on down the road with what we have continued to do for the last 7 years. So that's the state of the station. If anybody has anything to say about that, you can get in here real quick. I don't want to spend too much time on this. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, we're just doing this to keep you aware, because other news sources in town tend to want to keep you aware of what we're doing. And certainly we have a first-hand knowledge of what's going on, so we will let you know what's going on. And that is that particular story. By the way, also, if anything's going on in anybody's life this morning, there have been so many stories here in Marion this week that you would like to talk about, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. It was interesting. Yesterday, we spent a lot of time talking about the Judge Warner verdict, and most of our calls in regard to that came at the very end of the show. The first hour yesterday was more wrapped up with the sheriff and the prosecutor, and we certainly appreciated that. Hour number two, I did a lot of talking, and then we ended up getting calls toward the end of the show. So if you did not get in on that, or now that a couple days have passed and you have something that you would like to add about that, all the stories this week, it starts with Cummins Avenue and the horrible murder that took place there, and the stab, and I'm not even sure. You know, it's so hard to even explain what happened over on Cummins Avenue that without alleging anything, and I don't want to allege anything because there's an investigation going on, but, an 80-year-old woman was found dead, shot to death. A family dog was found dead, shot to death, and a gentleman, well, her husband, 78-year-old gentleman, when the police officers walked in, stabbed himself in front of them. I mean, it's an unbelievable story, and it's hard to explain. And we certainly don't know where that will go from here. But there's that. And then there's the Judge Warner story, getting convicted of two felonies. And then we have the story that's running on the news today with the 38-year-old boy, Birchfield, I believe was his last name, who was killed, I believe, by a gunshot, is what the story tells us. And then the person, you know, that story is really hard to, with the information we have, to figure out. That one I really don't know too much about, but I know that then they went and arrested what must have been his roommate, because they both lived at the same address, and that boy was also, I believe his last name was Criswell, he was 38 years old, and as they're taking him to the jail, or the correctional institute, you know, that's always been, is it institution or institute? In any event, they were transporting him, and he became unresponsive. So it's been a week when it comes to news here in Marion. So if you have anything to say, feel free to bust in on this conversation. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We are here this morning to talk about whatever you would like to talk about. Now, on the flip side of this whole FCC thing, I had two really good phone calls yesterday, not with the FCC, but that had to do with this station, as it were. And there are going to be some very big things coming up in the next 30 days. Now, I don't want to, well, matter of fact, there were three phone calls in the course of a day. That's pretty good. And they all have to do with this station, and I really can't say in regard to any of them at this point, because nothing is chiseled into a stone tablet yet. But over the next 30 days, I think you're going to see a lot of very positive things happening with this station. You know, I think we are past the one-year mark of the pandemic now, and we're getting to a point where a lot of things are changing for the positive. And I think they will change very well here in early spring, after March 21st of this month. And you know, by the way, I heard Glenn Coble yesterday talking about spring coming on March 20th. Now, here we are again. I do not know why we mess around with this whole March 20th, March 22nd, March 19th. Does anybody remember when the solstices used to come on the 21st? Didn't that make life a lot easier? We would have the first day of spring was March 21st. The first day of summer was June the 21st. The first day of fall or autumn was September 21st. And then the first day of winter was December 21st. Now, I think we've given the meteorologists too many tools. And now they want to, I don't know, nail it down to the minute. And how do they figure this out anyway? How can anybody say this is the first day of spring? But what exactly does it have to do with? Have any of these weathermen given a dissertation on how they figure this out? Because they get it right down to about the hour and the minute, and it's changed the days to where it's not on the 21st anymore. How does this all come about? I don't know. You know, it's strange to me, because I think of the first day of spring, winter, autumn, summer as a day. We set, it's just a season change. Now, how are they figuring this with meteorological data? I guess we have to figure out what the definition of a solstice is to figure that all out, and maybe have a meteorologist on who knows these answers. But I really don't understand that. That's one of the many things I don't understand. So again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, and expect big things coming in the future here at WWGH Radio. Okay. Well, last night was an interesting night. Last night, I went into the kitchen, and I cooked. And I don't cook very often, because There's just not much time. It seems like I'm always on the go. And also, when I'm alone, I really don't do any heavy cooking for myself because it's just me. So there are certain things that you would make big helpings of that I'm not going to make if it's just me. But last night I made something that because I knew that that Angie was coming over for dinner last night. So I decided I was going to whip something up. I was going to whip something up for dinner last night. So I decided to make pizza burgers. Now, this is something I came on years ago that I really like because I like hamburgers and I like pizza. Most people do. Now this is pretty obvious because I think we have more pizza places and more burger places that you can eat at than anything else. In any event, I whipped up the pizza burgers. And by the way, to make a pizza burger is not very difficult at all. All you have to do, and you will enjoy this. Now, people think it tastes different. To different people, it tastes like different things is what I have found. Some people say it tastes like a hamburger. Some people say it tastes like a pizza. Some people say it tastes like spaghetti. You know, it just tastes different to different people. But all you do, basically, is you get your hamburger, whatever kind of meat you use to make your hamburger, and you put it in the patty form, just like you're cooking a hamburger. And you cook that hamburger until it's done. Then, as it's done, don't turn off the skillet yet. But when you know the hamburger is done, you take pizza sauce and you spread it over top of the hamburger. And then you take mozzarella cheese, very little because a hamburger is not that big. But you take maybe a pinch of mozzarella cheese and you put that enough to cover the top of the hamburger. And then you take usually 3 pieces of pepperoni is what will fit on top of the pizza burger. And you put 3 pieces of pepperoni down on top, and you leave that on the skillet, kind of on low, until the mozzarella cheese melts. And then you take it off, and you have a pizza burger. And it's very good. I've never known anybody who didn't like it. Now, you don't have to use pepperoni. If you don't like pepperoni, you could use mushrooms in the place of pepperoni. You could use green peppers. A lot of people like the green peppers. You could use a lot of different things. But it always comes off very good, and it will make the people who you're having dinner for very happy. Because everybody does seem to like pizza, everybody does seem to like burgers, and everybody does seem to like spaghetti. And those are the 3 different things I've heard that it tastes like. Now, for a side dish, because obviously I don't think you would serve that alone, what I do when I eat it, because I'm not a big chip person. Now, normally what you serve with that is chips. And last night, that's what I did serve with it. Salt and vinegar chips. But what I had with mine was a salad. I just had some salad and some ranch dressing on top of it, and it all turned out very well, because when you put that all on the plate, I think you end up with kind of a nice conglomerate of food on your plate. And for dessert, now this, I want to talk about this, because I had went to the grocery store yesterday. And by the way, I'm going to get back to this grocery store thing here in a second. But I went to the grocery store, and I saw a caramel apple pie. Now, to be honest with you, I had never seen anything like this in a grocery store. Caramel apple pie. And I know that Angie really likes caramel apples. So I thought, boy, this is the perfect dessert, a caramel apple pie. So I get the caramel apple pie, and I bring it home, and after we're done eating, I take the caramel apple pie out of the box. This is the best smelling pie I have ever been around in my life. Now, I did not eat any of the pie. just because I'm not much of a pie person. Now, there are certain types of pies that I like. I do like blueberry pie. I do like strawberry pies, okay. I like coconut cream pie, banana cream pie. Those are probably my favorites. But peach pie, I like peach pie. But this pie, even better than the pies that I like better, had the best smell in the world. The smell was just coming off of this pie. And I'll tell you, I cut a piece out of the pie, and I put it in the microwave for 30 seconds, maybe 25 seconds. Still smelled good. And then, about 2 or 3 hours later, when I went back to box the pie up, it still smelled delicious. Has anybody ever had a caramel apple pie or bought one? Now, it could be I'm just living on a different planet and I've never encountered one of these before. But the smell of this pie, best smelling pie I've ever been around. And as Angie was eating her piece of caramel apple pie last night for dessert, I could smell it while she was eating it. And it just, you know, there ought to be, what do people use? Sprays and candles for their house to make it smell good. There really ought to be a caramel apple scent for people's house. Because this pie really, really was, and she said it was delicious. But the smell was really out of this world. So, has anybody ever had a caramel apple pie? Has anybody else ever done pizza burgers? Or is that something you'd be interested to try? I know there are a lot of people who love pizza out there. I know there are a lot of people who love burgers. So what do you think about the pizza burgers? What do you think about the caramel apple pie? Give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Would love to hear what your thoughts are on any of this as we approach 37 minutes past the hour here on this Getaway Friday morning. Pizza burgers and caramel apple pie are the discussion topics this morning. Now, yesterday, we talked quite a bit about funny things that people eat, strange things that people eat. And we had a few people tell us some strange things that people eat. I think we had a peanut butter and sweet pickle sandwich. That sounds a little different. We had cottage cheese and nacho Doritos. That's a little different. What was the other one we had yesterday? We had another one that was kind of peculiar. That's slipping my mind for the moment. But if anybody else wants to talk about strange things that they eat, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, when it comes to the pizza burgers, though, I will say this. The pepperoni I bought was not a spicy pepperoni or anything like that. But pepperoni, by nature, we all know, is spicy. And you know, I could tell last night after I'd eaten that pepperoni that it was, well, let's just say I could tell that I had eaten pepperoni, I guess is the best way to put it. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I was listening to a rerun of a show last night, and on the show you had asked the question, what 4 radio stations did Charlie Evers work for?
Yes.
Well, I know 3. I know DIF, WMRN, and you guys. What's the 4th one?
There was, you know, it's funny. That's what a lot of people were asking. What was the 4th one? Because it was kind of a strangely run station, and I even spent some time there doing a show. It was a station called WDCM. Now, do you remember this?
No, I never heard of DCM. No.
Yeah, it was the DCM. I forget exact. I think what it stood for was Drum Corps Marion. It was a shoot-off of the old Drum and Bugle Corps, but it opened, I think, somewhere like around 2005, and it was around, I don't know how long it was around, maybe 10 years or so, something like that. But they changed the call letters. You know, Marion's got a weird history because WDIF is still around here, but it's not the WDIF that we remember, that Charlie worked at.
It's a country station now.
Well, it's I don't know what they play on that station now.
Yeah,
but that's what they play. Yeah, it's not the original WDIF.
No.
They actually just changed the call letters, and what that was originally WDCM. So I think Charlie was there from like 2005 till right before he came here.
Huh.
So yeah, that would
I
be
did
the.
I did not know that. Of course, I was working a lot then, didn't listen to the radio a whole lot.
Yeah, it was a different kind of a station. To be honest with you, I don't know if many people knew about it. It didn't seem like, and I think Charlie would say this, there were not a lot of calls over there. A lot of people did not call in. There was not, in the short time that I was there, there just was not a lot of action at that station.
Ha, I'll be dunk. Nope. Yeah, because I've been listening to Charlie since I was a kid, and I did not know about that station.
Well, you know, that was the unfortunate part because, you know, Charlie obviously was a legend and people liked listening to him. They liked listening to him here at MRN and at the original WDIF. But the years he spent over there, I'm not really sure that people even knew he was on. And I don't know why that station was just never able to materialize in any way.
Did they not advertise for what?
Well, to be honest with you, I was at WMRN, I think, when they first started. And in the beginning, I remember there were some newspaper articles written about the station going on the air, but I don't think there really was a whole lot of advertising. I don't remember. Now, I can't say because I wasn't on the inside. Now, there might have been, but to be honest with you, the only way I knew about it was because I was friends with Charlie, and I knew about it because there was a write-up one day in the newspaper that they were going on the air. But other than that, certainly in the later days, there wasn't much advertisement. In the beginning, I don't know. You know, WMRN was still fairly hopping in those days.
Yeah.
And, you know, still had a pretty strong staff. So I think it was kind of hard to come in and try to displace them.
Yeah. Yeah, they used to be the radio station. Of course, when Charlie went to DIF, I quit listening to WMRN and went to DIF. Just
you know,
so I could listen to Charlie.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's weird you bring this all up because recently I was able to start accessing the Marion Star archives from my house.
Yeah.
And one of the things I researched, because I'm fascinated with Marion's broadcast history, because we're actually in the 80th year right now of a broadcast history in Marion. And you know, you go back, because most people who are with us now were either very young or have left us who were around when broadcasting in Marion started on December 23rd, 1940.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of interesting stuff that was written up in the newspaper about that, and a lot of stuff about when Charlie went to WDIF, and right about that same time, Marianne Michaels came to WMRN from Columbus Television. Madge Cooper returned. She had been in retirement, and she came back on WMRN. So there was a lot going on in the early 1980s in Marion radio.
Yeah, I pretty much didn't even listen to FM radio until Charlie went to DIF.
Yeah. Now, did you listen to him much when he was here for about 6 years?
Oh, yeah. I used to listen to him every chance I got.
Well, you know, it was great. And one of the great things about Charlie was that I don't think he ever lost the ability to communicate with people in a very entertaining way. And that was,
yeah, he definitely knew how to talk to people.
He did. And, you know, it was one of the great things to me was he was on the air in the studio 1 month before he left us.
Yeah.
So right up till the end.
Yeah, I hear reruns. I hear probably his last show, you guys play those tributes to him, and I hear him on there talking about how his arm is healed and how he's not going to be around much. He might call in. Yeah, I hear all that stuff because I listen to radio mostly at night.
You know, I'll tell you a little inside story about that I don't know if I've ever told about and that was his last show. What had, and I don't think I'm telling anything that people don't already know, but, and I think Charlie told it in that show, so you've heard a lot of it yourself, but Charlie had taken a fall just about this time last year, and he took it right out
in front here of the building. I mean, nobody saw it because we were all up here, yeah. But he took a fall outside, and he came in that day, and his arm was all, you know, scratched up and so on and so forth. And he got bandaged. He did his show that day. He did his two-hour show that day. And even though we said, Charlie, you need to go to the hospital and get that bandaged up, well, he said, I'm already here. I'll do my show. So he did his show that day. And then he just started having a little trouble with what he believed was vertigo. And maybe it was vertigo. I don't know. So he didn't come in for maybe it was a couple weeks. He was kind of healing up from the fall. And he told me one day that he was, I had not seen him in those 2 weeks. We just communicate by email. And he said he was going to come back on a Wednesday. And I thought, well, this is good. Everything's good. Well, he came in that Wednesday, and I could tell he was not feeling the greatest, but he was okay. And he came in, did his two-hour show that day, and when he announced, which you were just alluding to, that yeah. he would not be coming in much anymore, and that he would try to call in, and so on and so forth, you know, we did not really know that that was coming that day.
Yeah, and well, if you remember his birthday celebration you guys had, and you guys were talking about he was going to be around for a long time, and he said, nope. He says, I won't live to see another birthday.
He did. He did say yes, that on his birthday. But, you know, I'll tell you, and Charlie was funny. And I got to work with him, you know, like for about 15 years. And the funny thing about Charlie was nobody in Charlie's family, including his parents, and he did have a sister. None of them ever lived past the age of 80.
Yeah.
And when he got to 80, and he ended up living to 85.
Yeah.
When he got to 80, he would say that a lot, that he didn't think he was going to be around much longer. I think, you know, outliving all of his family, I think 80 to him he considered to be an old age. And so he did say that on his last birthday, but I think he had said that at other times. But I do think he knew. I mean, you know, I think people...
Well, yeah, I remember either you or him or somebody said that he had heart trouble, had congestive heart failure. And,
yeah, I believe he did, yes.
Yeah, yeah. See, I had a friend that she had congestive heart failure, and... It, you know, she just slowly went downhill, and it's, from what I could tell, I mean, I wasn't around Charlie, but I know how congestive heart failure gets you, and, you know, I remember him saying that he was just tired on that one radio broadcast he did, and he said he was just tired, and I'm like, uh-huh. That's how it does it.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting about all that was you know, Charlie, he did have this ailment, obviously, but he also, you know, was 85 years old. And,
oh, yeah.
And it's interesting because all the time at this station, which would have been from age 79 to 85, if he wasn't feeling well or something had happened, because he had a few ailments, you know, minor over the years.
Yeah, well,
yeah, he had a few, but I'll tell you, he, when the microphone came on for those 2 hours, he was there.
Oh, I know, that was his thing. I mean, he was the consummate professional when it come to that.
Oh, absolutely, there was nobody like him in that fashion, and one of the great things about him was, you know, he would have these minor ailments, and, you know, he would be at home, and I would say, well, Charlie, you know, take a couple days off and stay at home and relax, and he would show up, well, he told it on the air one time. He showed up here with an oxygen tank one time. They had put him on oxygen for a temporary period.
Oh, and yeah, I remember that show.
Yes, he showed up with the oxygen tank, and yeah. I said, Charlie, you could have taken the day off.
Yeah, I remember him talking about he was, he hoped his doctor wasn't listening to the radio show because he didn't have his oxygen on and he's supposed to have it on.
Yeah, he would do things like he really, Matter of fact, I remember that day very well because I knew he was on oxygen, and I got a message that morning that his daughter was bringing him in because he couldn't drive while he had the oxygen, the way it was. And I had said to her, I said, hey, I said, you know, he doesn't have to come in today. Don't make him feel like he's obligated to come in. And he said, no, he wants to come in. And he did. He showed up with the oxygen tank and the oxygen on, and he did his two-hour show, and that was Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie was a great man. I loved listening to him on the radio.
Well, and that's why we play the repeats. You know, we've got, I think, about 3,000 hours of him here, and as long as we're here, he'll be here.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Great.
Well, hey, I appreciate you calling in.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was fun. That's a delightful call to have this morning. It's always fun to reminisce about Marion's past. And it's ironic because that's one of the things I plan to do here at some point. I've got this folder that I've compiled of old Marion Star articles that have to do with a lot of the broadcast history of Marion that hopefully we will get to. But again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And if you ever want to break in and talk about anything like that, that's fun. I like doing that. It's fun to reflect on the past and look to the future. And again, curious if anybody's ever had the pizza burgers or the caramel apple pie. Those were very good. Let's see here. But as I say, the pepperoni, I definitely knew I had eaten the pepperoni. Or it might have been the pizza sauce. I don't know. Or maybe a combination of both. Although pizza does not have that effect on me. Maybe it was just the type of pepperoni. But, as I say, anything you'd like to talk about, we got into the interesting discussion yesterday about odd foods. Oh, and I'll tell you something else. I don't know if I brought this up. This past weekend, I was in Ollie's here in Marion, and I saw some of those deviled egg containers. Not to serve the deviled eggs, but to make the deviled eggs. You know the thing? Somebody had called in here where they're little containers, and you take the egg, and you break it while it's raw, and you dump it in the egg container, and then you throw the shell away, and then you microwave it, and then you take it out of the microwave, and you have an egg without a shell, so you can slice it up and make deviled eggs without having to deal with the shell. Because for years now, you guys have heard my trials and tribulations with deviled eggs, that I cannot get the shell off of the egg. Once I boil it, and we've had so many people call in tips on how to do this. Let the eggs cool, crack them on the side of the sink. It never worked. And maybe I'm just inept is what it could be. But I always ended up breaking the egg membrane, and then you don't have anything to put the deviled egg goo inside of. So it was always a disaster. So somebody called in and told me about these egg things, and I saw them at Ollie's this past weekend, so I bought them. Now, I have not used them yet, but here's the thing. I was reading the instructions on them, and it says you have to boil them. That you put the eggs in the container and then you boil them. So, go ahead, caller.
Hey, what?
Yes.
I'm your dad.
Yes.
So, is all I feel fine? I have no problem. I put salt in the water. And roll in and cookie oil. I boil. When you're done, I run the cold water, I bring it, run the cold water on them, and then crack them, and I have no problem, and have everything all clear. They all come out good.
So salt in the water, then run cold water on them.
Yeah, salt, water, cookie oil, cook them, they don't crack in the pan. What you cook them, like all of them do, then you get from the cold water, then crack them, and I've had no problem.
Well, I tell you what, I'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, everything I've ever tried has always been a disaster. But now I have these egg containers. But what the egg containers say is they say you need to boil the water, and then you crack the egg, take the shell off, throw the shell away, put the contents of the egg in the egg container, and then you boil it. Now, how long you boil it, I have no idea. I haven't opened up the box yet. But when somebody called in, they talked about microwaving. Now, I did not see any microwave directions on the box. Now, is this the same thing somebody was talking about when they called in before? Or does anybody have these things that you put in the boiling water and that gives you an egg with no shell on it? Because apparently that's what I have now. Now, here's what's interesting. When I purchased these things, the lady who was ringing me out said she had them. And I didn't even ask her any questions about it. She said, I have these, and I just want to let you know that you really have to spray the nonstick stuff in the container, the egg container, before you put the contents of the egg in there. She said, because you will tear the egg up trying to get it out of the container. So, my question to you, 56 minutes past this hour, have you ever had this issue? Do you have these things that you pour the egg in, you get rid of the shell, you boil them in the water, then you take them out and pull the egg out? I believe when I was first told about this, it was a microwave project, but maybe I have not bought the right thing, or maybe you can microwave these things. I don't know. I've never used them before. I'm just trying to get to a deviled egg where I'm not going to break the membrane of the egg into 1,000 pieces, and I can actually get to the yolk to make the deviled egg mixture to put in the egg. So this is where we are in life with this. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, when I make eggs for deviled eggs, I always buy them and wait about a week and then boil them that way. But I put them in cold water, put them on the stove, and bring them to a boil, take them off the burner, and cover them and for 20 minutes. And then I peel them that way, and they come out super.
So you boil the eggs, and then you take them out of the boiling water.
No.
No.
I put them in cold water and put them on the stove and bring them to a boil.
Oh, okay.
And when they start boiling, I turn the burner off and set them with the lid on it for 20 minutes. And then I peel them that way. But I cannot peel a fresh egg. It never comes out right. So I always wait about a week before I use them.
So you buy the eggs, you wait a week, then you put cold water in the pan, boil the eggs, and then when the eggs are done, you turn the stove off, you let them sit.
No. When the water starts to boil good, I take them off the burner, and I cover them, and I set them for 20 minutes, and they are done.
Oh, okay. So you take them totally off the stove.
Right.
Off the burner. And then
right.
You just set them to the side for 20 minutes. Now,
mm-hmm.
do you like have any way that you crack them? Do you just crack them against the sink or?
Yeah.
Okay. And the shell just falls right off, huh?
Yep.
Well, I'll have to give it a shot because, you know, people have said this cooling thing, and I've even heard about using old eggs, but for some reason it's still, when I make them, it sticks to the egg for some reason.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to get past it because I like deviled eggs, and I've never been to a potluck where people didn't like deviled eggs. But boy, I'll tell you, it's tough to get those eggshells off.
Yeah, it sure is.
It is. Well, hey, thanks for the tip.
Bye.
All right. We'll take any more tips on this or any more questions you have. But I'm curious about these things I have bought. Has anybody bought these things that you're supposed to boil? You put them in They're little red containers, and I'm sure they could be any color. I don't think this is... They're egg-shaped. You dump the contents of the egg in there raw. You boil them. I guess the whole container, I guess. You boil it. And then when it's done boiling, you open it up. And there is no shell because you've already discarded the shell. But I think when this story was originally told to me, it had something to do with a microwave. That you put it in the microwave. Now, I don't know if this is the same thing or not. Because I don't think there are any microwave directions on my eggshell, my egg containers. And also, I've heard about this sticking problem. So maybe we'll come back, talk more about this next hour. Stay tuned, back in 15 minutes.
LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Everson. I'll be on 10 till 12 today. And welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
Porky, Marvin there, he doesn't seem to like you very much.
It's all an act.
It's not an act.
Ethical act.
I've got your act.
Don't